titled my message today, Who Lives in You? Turn to your neighbor, ask this question, Who Lives in You? That is the title of my message today. It also involves with the idea about the effects of God's invasive power. You know, there are many things in nature that are completely a mystery to us. For one particular simple example is the caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. How can such creature that crawls on the ground and can be changed into one that flies? How can one such radical transformation entails in this process? How does a caterpillar rearrange itself into a butterfly with beautiful wings? What happened actually in this chrysalis or the cocoon? What actually took place inside? In summary, we call that metamorphosis. Henceforth, in all similar manner, I also wonder in the spiritual realm, there are also complete mystery to us. How can a person who is indifferent and hostile to God, like Paul, becomes deeply committed as a follower of Jesus Christ? How can a bad man become good? How can a sinner become a saint? How can a wretched man like you and I become a follower and a blessed one in Christ? In summary, we call that miracle. How can we experience such miracle? How can we know there is such a possibility? Brother and sister in Christ, we are entering into this invasive power, not only for this year, but for a year to come. And in this power that is ready to break all the barriers that are stopping you from having the anointing. The power that God is invading inside is breaking every wall, every impediments that are stopping you from moving forward. This invasive power is here to break every clutch and every chain that is right in the hearts of mankind. It is all possible. And I'm going to take you along with me into this particular passage. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to 11, I want you to capture the importance of the author's perspective and view. He is talking to the Jews as well about the Gentiles. And here he says in Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are ready for the word? Come on. Amen. He says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, no condemnation. No condemnation. But get ready for the word of God. Come on. Get ready for the word of God. Amen. And in verse 2, it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I like this verse. I like this particular part where through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit that has given me life has set me free from the law of the curses. I read that. And he has set me free from the law of humanism. He has set me free from the law of war and disaster. He has set me free. Somebody say amen. He has. And in verse 3, he goes on. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the curse. He condemned our stupidity. He condemned the foolishness that is in the flesh. He condemned all our selfishness in the flesh. Did your Bible say that? My Bible actually tells me a lot of things about sin. Am I right? Your Bible didn't say it? It does. It's just that we didn't read further, right? It's about sin. You and I got a different Bible, eh? And then in verse 4, it says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Look at verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, they have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. I saw something in this verse. It says, those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. What are the desires of the Spirit? Lord, what are your desires? The desires of the Spirit could be the love of God. The desires of the Spirit could be the kingdom of God. The desires of the Spirit is about the grace of God. The desires of the Spirit is about obedience in Christ. Wow, the mind set on what the Spirit desires. Are you with me? Amen? Look at verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Oops. That doesn't sound good for us, isn't it? But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is what? Hostile to God. Ah, God, I don't agree with you. Lord, I don't think you are right in this matter. I want to have my own way. And then he says, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But look at verse 8. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Those who are foolish cannot please God. Those who are stupid in their own ways cannot please God. Did your Bible say that? No? That's pretty strange. How come my Bible actually tells me a little bit about the flesh? Think about that. Now listen to this. This is where I want you to tell your neighbor now. You. You, however, tell your neighbor, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Somebody say? Tell a neighbor, you are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. Are you there? But it doesn't stop there. There is a word repeatedly mentioned 4 times. And that word is if. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Wow. Very painful. For some people, it's very, very painful. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Amen. And then he went on in verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Wow. That makes the difference, isn't it? It's just like saying, if you have the Spirit, why are you not in the house of God? If you have the Spirit, why are you not obeying Christ? The word if, you know what I mean? Just in case you don't understand the word if, let me illustrate a little bit further. If you are a child of God, why are you not obeying Him? That's what the author is saying. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then why are you not behaving like one who has the Spirit of Christ? So the author is telling us today, just as Apostle Paul mentioned in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's here. It's here. He lives in us. And he goes on to say, for you are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's what Paul says. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Ask your neighbor again, who lives in you?
Seriously.
Who lives in you? The Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. Somebody say amen. This life-giving spirit infuses life into us. It is the source of life that is discovered through the Holy Spirit. Which means to say, brothers and sisters, He is here to produce a supernatural work inside of you. It's true. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, that same Spirit has the power to produce supernatural. Are you there with me? So since He has the power to produce the supernatural, that means whenever I think I have been a victim, God supernaturally can produce you and become a victor. Amen? And if you think you come to a point where you say, well, I'm living and surrounded by a lot of impossibilities, but because the Spirit lives within me, has the power to do the work of supernatural, God can bring about the possibilities. Take a deep breath. If you and I live in the fear because of our past, live in the fear because of someone said something to you, but God has the power to do the supernatural, to turn it around and bring about faith in you. The faith that says to the mountain, be thou removed. Sometimes we are so absorbed and being tainted by a lot of filthiness of this world. But God, in His own supernatural way, with the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, He can turn the filth into righteousness. That is what God is capable of doing, from the crumbs to the trustworthiness, for whatever you think it cannot be done, God, in the supernatural way, say, can be done. Who lives in you? Who lives in you? Sometimes God not only transforms, but I tell you honestly, there are times God eradicates, remove all your filth, your dirty stuff. He'll clean you up. You know why? Because if He wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, He will not fill you if you are filthy inside. So no wonder a lot of Christians are feeling frustrated. Why am I feeling this, so much struggle? I tell you why the struggle is there. Because the filth is there. And it has to be removed in order for Him to fill you with His blessings of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, true life requires the elimination of your past. I wish that we can find a place called the land of a new beginning. My wife and I, we were doing a little bit of cleaning up. No, don't worry. Nobody's getting into trouble. We're doing the cleaning up, and my wife asked for my clothes that need to be packed up and sent to Salvo or to any organization. And I thought about it. Would you want to give a torn and tattered jeans or shirt? Perhaps some of you may have torn and tattered jeans that is considered new. I'm not too sure about how. This is an oxymoron thing. Torn and tattered jeans that is still new. Right? But would you want to pack all these dirty, torn, tattered blankets, bed sheets, whatever, and give to Salvo? Why do we want to give away? Let us take these and throw it away. Somebody say amen. You don't give it away. You throw it away. And you surrender it to God, because He has the power and the supernatural power to change that and bring in the new garment of praise. Somebody say amen. The garment of right. If you want to give a clap offering and praise the Lord, give it one good one to the Lord. But listen, the past do not determine your present. Are you with me? Your mistakes do not determine your character. We are so bound by those mistakes and we think that's who we are. That's what people say who you are. But you don't have to live with that when the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He can change that. Your unconquerable battles do not determine your failure. You may not be able to conquer everything as yet, but it doesn't mean that you failed. You see, church, the past must be eliminated. But while we are doing that, Apostle Paul declares that we are to be free from condemnation. Did the Bible say that? For those who are in Christ, you are not condemned. Am I right? There is no condemnation. Amen? No condemnation. There is this indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Help us to eliminate that condemnation. And the condemnation is something that puts you where you are and put a stigma or a tag on you and say that's who you are. All your dirt, all your filth, all your mistakes, all the stupidity that you have made, they make you who you are. But we have forgotten the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody, come on, say with me. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can transfer us from the state of condemnation into the state of blessedness. He can change and take your greatest loss to turn it into the greatest life message. And this is where God is constantly reminding us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He can turn the defeat into a victory. He can turn your lostness into a discovery. He can turn your emptiness into a fulfillment, into a satisfaction, into contentment. You will be satisfied when you are in Christ. But when you are not, a lot of things to complain. A lot of things to complain. Go to the rubbish dump yard and start complaining. That's the place where there is no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. With the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, it begins to reflect the life of Christ. When the condemnation is eliminated, and you know that when you live in Christ, there is no more condemnation. You have the ability and the capacity with the Holy Spirit to reflect the life of Christ. Are you with me? You can reflect the life of Christ. You know, every time when we talk about living in Christ, there is a need for proactiveness. I can't comprehend how can a believer live in Christ and yet has no and walk to the house of God or even to arouse himself to get out of bed is so difficult. It's so difficult. How could a person with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit reflecting the life of Christ yet not active in Christ? You see, when you are proactive, you embrace God's intention. Are you with me? God's intention. That means to say, whatever God delights, that's what you delight in. Whatever God loathes or hates, that's what you hate. You don't hate what God loves, and you don't love what God hates. You are a confused person. Amen? My daughter asked me, says, whether my shoe actually match with my... You know what I said? If you look around the fashion world today, as long as you're in that particular shape, you know what I mean? The model shape. Any dress, any color doesn't match, it looks good. Isn't it true? It looks good. So nowadays, if you ask me what fashion, whatever color you want to wear, it looks good. It doesn't matter. Huh? It just looks good. So it's a very confused world today. Very confused. Those days we are very particular. If those of you in the entertainment world, if you look at those, the Osman brothers, everybody dress up the same. Am I right? Nowadays you look at the band, everybody dress up differently. And then the lead singer doesn't even wear a shirt. Show his bare body, his chest, hairless chest. Okay? And they all dress differently. Not like those days. Everybody dress the same. Am I right or not? But I can honestly tell you that today, if you dress up with the torn jeans, it's still okay. But during my early years, if it's a torn jeans, they were wondering, how come your father got no money? Eh? Now it is a fashion. Knee part is torn, or sometimes the backside pocket is torn, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then my alumni friend showed me two pictures. One, the African kid with the torn and tattered pants, and another person with a model with the torn and tattered pants. What's the difference now? They just took the African fashion. Eh? But in the early 80s, do you remember, they wear their jeans so low? And I was in New York, and I saw this black guy walking. You know, the black people walk as though it's very bouncy, you know. Somebody broke their leg or whatever, I don't know. Man, they don't walk like gentlemen anymore. And then when I saw this guy walking, his pants was dropping. And as this friend of mine was driving close, and he was wearing women's stocking over his head. Women's stocking. Like a, you know, I don't know what you call that, but he walks like that. I thought he's on drugs or what. But that's the fashion. All right? And his pants was dropping. We need to take action. When we reflect Christ, we need to take action of God's assignment. Am I right? God has mission and ministry. If you and I allow the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to take place, we must be able to resist the devil. Somebody say amen. Resist the devil. Let him flee under the power of God's anointing. This is something that all of us need to yield to the directives of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, when there is this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is always this prompting of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is always prompting. John 16 says this. He says that the Spirit of God is our counselor. He counsels us and guides us in our daily lives. Am I right or not? And every time when you walk, He prompts us. Why? Because He wants us to do the Father's will. So when there is indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there will be prompting. If you are not getting any prompting, I got to ask you the question, are you having the Holy Spirit? Because every time when the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the reality of life in us, the prompting will always take place. And the prompting has only one primary objective, is to help and guide you to do the Father's will. I remember every time when we get together with friends and relatives and family members, and we talk and we chit chat, and people like us, we talk for many hours. Eh? Every time when I tell my daughter I'm going to see so and so, and I say, do you want to come? No, daddy, you go. Because you people will talk for many hours. It's true, many hours. We talk until 3-4 hours, we come back. So while we are talking, whenever my wife is beside me, time to go home. You know what she does? There is the prompting from below. She will kick my leg. She kick my leg. But now, because we live for so many years together, for 30 over years, every time when she kick, pretend nobody was kicking me. Just continue to talk. But I know I only left with 5 minutes. Another kick, time to go. Eh? So many of you wives does that to your husband. Amen? Amen? I noticed Lala been nodding. But Lala realized everything doesn't work. Why you kick me? Stop it! Stop it! Why you kick my leg? I'm talking! Stop it! That is called the direct prompting of the Holy Spirit. But that's how the Holy Spirit works. He prompts us. He kicks us. He convicts us. It's something uncomfortable. Why is something happening in my spirit? What is God saying? You know what I mean? And a lot of time when God is prompting, a lot of believers ignore. That was the problem. But the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is always prompting us. Calvin, go. Talk to this person. Calvin, stop. Don't talk to this person. Don't talk. Go. Calvin, stop. Shut up. Don't say anything. Do you know that God does that? During even the conversation, you are so tempted to say it. But there's a prompting to say, shut up. Don't say. But this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does. And so with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, allow me to take you through just very simple three positions that God has allowed us to have. The Spirit of God living in us has brought about three very vital positions. In view of that, I can safely say we are never alone. Somebody say amen. With the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I'm never alone. Nobody is around in my house. I'm all by myself in the room. I can truly say I have a great time in His presence because I commune with Him. You're never alone. You're never lost. You know God is speaking. You need to do next? What is the next theme for the year? Why do I need to move in that direction? God begins to speak. In that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I'm never lack or without the power of His presence. And in His power, I can sense the work of God's Spirit inside of me, developing the kingdom of God inside of me. So these three very important outcomes of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is stated here. One is a new standing. The other one is a new identification in Christ. And the third one is the new way of life. Let us look at new standing. You know, if Paul said that in Ephesians chapter 4. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, I read to you. It's not there. I remember I told you to bring your Bible. If you want to see the revival take place in this church, start bringing your Bible. Amen. All right, read the word. It says this in verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And then look at verse 23. Instead, you listen to this. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So in my new standing, I have this new state of mind and a new relationship. Amen? I have a new state of mind and a new relationship. Just like what Paul had. He had an encounter with God. And soon after, you notice all that he did before as a murderer, he now became a preacher. And he has a new state of mind. His mind is constantly renewed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he has this established new relationship with God. And that's exactly what we need. We should be clothed in His presence. To have the new relationship, I need His presence. presence wherever I go. I'm clothed in His presence. And if I walk into the area where demonic activities are taking place, I fear no evil because God is with me. Somebody say amen. And I walk into a place where it's not glorifying to God. And the Lord says, I want you to go there and preach the gospel. When you're clothed in His presence, all of a sudden, courage and faith began to grow. Brothers and sisters, we have a new standing. My position in Christ comes with a new state of mind and with a new relationship. You and I will never be in the lost condition. Unlike many homes and families, up to their whims and fancies, whether or not they want to be in the presence of God. You will not be confused, and neither will you be vulnerable or gullible. Look into the book of Acts. Before we look into the book of Acts, we look into the book of John. And we notice that when John recorded that Peter had this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus asked him in John 21 verse 15, when they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" Three times. And when he said yes, look at the book of Acts. Look at this position. Look at this position as in Christ, that the authority and the power of God came. There is unity in the book of Acts. There is this unprecedented generosity in the midst among the people who believes in Him. We can also see they recognize that they gather their food or receive their food from the source of the one who gave them life. That is the new position. We are now at peace with God. Somebody say amen. We have a new standing. And the next one is new identification. You can see that in this recent news. Meghan Markle, the wife of Prince Harry, had a little bit of a hitch and glitch. And having a little bit of problem in the royal palace. In view of her dressing, in view of her colors on the fingernails, in view of how she lived her life as a royal person. You see, when you are having a new identification, you live like that identification. And I can see that because Paul also said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in Jesus Christ." Wow. It's no longer I live, but Christ. I have a new identification that I do not live as though I have the right. Today, I live because He has the right over me. How many of us allow the Holy Spirit to do that work? You remember the scripture that we just read in the book of Romans chapter 8. If anyone has the Spirit of Christ, that person belongs to Him. Amen. So which means to say, in verse 10, we have a new birth now. If Christ is in you, that even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Some of you will be a smart aleck, will ask this question. How do you know a person really belongs to Christ? Which is a very smart question. How do you know? How do you know that this person who calls himself a Christian belongs to Christ? How do you know? And the scripture tells us in Romans 1 so clearly. And Paul reiterates that by Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 and say that it is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. So there is a conformity of our character into the likeness of Christ. You see, when you see somebody walk out of a place and he is drunk and he walks with unsteady steps, you know that he just came out from somewhere that promotes a lot of alcohol or drinking. Likewise, when you and I have an identification with Christ, no longer I live, but Christ who lives with me. When I walk, I reflect my identification. When they see me walk and talk, they will know where I come from. Are you there? When you take a white shirt and you dye your shirt into the red paint or red dye, what do you get? A red t-shirt. Am I right or not? And that is exactly what identification simply means. I now do not belong to the old Adam. I belong to the new Adam and the new family that is found in Jesus Christ. So when there is an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us, there will be a new identification in our heart. I cannot be walking and reflecting like the world today. I was once upon a time walk like the world, but now I'm in Christ. I cannot live like the world. But if you do live like the world, you think like the world, you talk like the world, then I'm saying, sorry, sir. Something is wrong with your identification. Is there the work of the Holy Spirit in you? So identification is evidently shown or revealed by your transformation in your life. You cannot be the same. How can you curse and speak lousy, dirty words when you did it before, but now in Christ, you still do it? When the Holy Spirit baptized us, you are now identified with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and also in the glorification. You are identified. There is a need for us while we are here on earth is to die to ourselves. That identification of Jesus' death is for all of us to die to ourselves. You see, friend, the true test of Christianity is not being a member of a church. The true test of Christianity is not going to another church. The true test of Christianity is not having another pastor. The true test of Christianity is not having another baptism of water. It's not about having Holy Communion. The true test of Christianity is about you having the character and the life of Jesus Christ in you. Somebody say amen. Come on, give him praise and glory. This is something that all of us need to realize, that we ought to become like Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing, a new way of life. Romans 8:11 says this, and you could see earlier in the introduction of that whole picture there. It says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body because of his spirit who lives in you. Christ's resurrection, my dear brothers and sisters. It is Christ's resurrection that you and I have the foretaste of it today. The scripture tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Are you there? If anyone that is in Christ, the resurrection power brings us to this dwelling place, what we call in Christ. And when we are in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. So there is a possibility that you and I can become new. Somebody say amen. Why? Because of the resurrection power. And the resurrection power will help you to overcome, destroy your old nature, your old habits, your old life, and allow him to produce the new energy to come bring out a new life. A new creation. You know, Joshua, the book of Joshua in chapter 1, and we are all very familiar with that, but in verse 9 it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, and not be afraid? Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You know, when I read that, I think back about Joshua. There is so much fear that was just, the task is overwhelming, and I could sense the fear was there. Why? Because the Lord spoke to Joshua to be courageous. He knew there was something. You see, when you and I have a new way of life, when you have a new path, when you have a new hope, when you have a new possibility, and Joshua is now embarking and going across River Jordan to take the territory of the enemy, he knows the task is great. And here God says, be courageous. So brothers and sisters, just as Joshua, we are taking and crossing the River Jordan of our old, from our old life to a new life, and we are going into the new path. You're going to the new possibility. You're going into a place where God says, be of great courage. You are crossing to 2019. You are taking that territory of your life in the past and say, Lord, I do not want that past anymore. Just like Esther. Queen Esther, a girl that is so insignificant in the village, and all of a sudden, she was given this new life. She became a queen. And when she became a queen, there is new possibilities in her journey within the palace. When every time the people of God had trouble, she has this new opportunity to do something great. That is the kind of life God is giving you. A new way of life. The new way of life produces new source of strength. For you and for me to move forward. For you and for me to defeat our enemy. For you and for me to follow God's direction and commands. Because a lot of believers are timid and afraid and weak when it comes to God's command. But God's command can be done and can be obeyed with the strength and the new source of energy from the Holy Spirit. It can be done. That's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen? Wow. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Hey, this verse is not for you to chant. This word is for you to live in. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's for you to live in. Not for you to quote and make yourself feel good. Live in, because the Holy Spirit is inside, is working that possibilities according to that promise. That is God's promise for you. Our new way of life gives us the strength to overcome. Life is now clothed with the kingdom of God. Romans says that the kingdom of God is not about eating and talking. It's about righteousness, peace and joy. Somebody say amen. Book of Corinthians, the Bible says the kingdom of God is not just for talking, it's about power. The scripture keeps reminding us that we must be clothed with the kingdom of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in us. Therefore, the kingdom of God is within you. We live as though the kingdom of God is not even existing. Isn't it sad? Let us take one step forward and recognize that now is a time for me to be so wrapped up and clothed up with God's kingdom. And that will allow you to be sharpened with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You will be sharpened with His wisdom. And I think Church, a lot of Christians making silly mistakes after silly mistakes is because they don't have wisdom. They don't have. They are smart. They are smart. They are intelligent, but they got no wisdom. It's a lot of difference, my friend. We need the wisdom of God. We need that. So when we have the wisdom of God, allow the Holy Spirit to sharpen that wisdom and make it relevant for your everyday life. You may say, even small little things. Like you said, well, there are some decisions I need to make, and it's going to make a lot of changes in my future. Don't ignore that. Ask God, Lord, you give me the word. Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak into your heart. Let the word come alive. Let the Rhema word come alive. Let me see your truth, Lord. That's why I said last week, carry the word of God across so that the Holy Spirit will prompt you with his word. Somebody saying, how can you live without the word of God? You see, church, all of us need to abide in the Holy Spirit. And with that, a new quality of life arises in your heart. We look for quality life. Am I right or not? You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? You look for quality life, right? You're not going to live in a place of poverty. I'm not saying that you live in a place of poverty make you more spiritual. Or you go to the mountain and sit down and cross your leg and make you very spiritual. Right? It doesn't. What it's saying, the quality life is that when you move in the power of his spirit, you are able to take authority against the deception of the enemy. You can block the enemy's schemes in the name of Jesus. How can you succeed? Even when you think about studying, even you think about career, and you said, oh, that's my career. God has nothing to do with God. Baloney. Every part of your life need the Holy Spirit. Come on. We cannot do, remember the word said, we cannot do anything. We cannot make it happen by ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit. So whatever career you think you have, hey, listen, your career is just right now. Are you telling me that your career is going to flourish until the day Jesus comes? How is it going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. With the Holy Spirit, he's going to take you through and journey you through until the day when you say, praise be to God, without the Holy Spirit, I cannot succeed. Charles Spurgeon says, without the Spirit of God, we are nothing. Just like the sheep without the wind. Just like the coals without the fire. We become useless. We need the Holy Spirit. Let me close. There was this young missionary by the name of Herbert Jackson. He was given a car to do his work. And to have a car in that place and the asset is an asset. But there's only one problem. The car couldn't start properly. Every time when he wanted to use his car, he would go to the school and get permission from the children to help push his car. So when they push his car, he could start the engine. And the engine began to roar. And in all his methods of making sure that the engine do not cease, whenever he stops somewhere for a short while, he will leave the engine on. This has gone on and on for 2 years. Somehow, one day, Jackson's family had some health difficulty. And so they have to leave the place, and the missionary department sent a new young missionary over. So Herbert Jackson decided to explain to him before he used that car and told him what the problem that this car had. And so this young missionary went over to the car, opened up the booth, or rather the bonnet, and started to look at the engine. And he realized there was a cable that was not connected properly. So he did some turning and twisting and then turn on the switch and the engine roar. Herbert Jackson has been going through for 2 years without realizing that it was merely connection. So in that 2 years, needless to say that he was having so much trouble every time when he wants to use that car. I felt in my spirit, many of us are like Herbert Jackson. Some of us need someone to push you and restart your life. Every time. Every month, every week, every second, every hour, whatever. We need to push. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. Why are you not in charge? We want to push them to come to church. Why are you not honoring God? We got to push them again. Why are you not living rightly? We got to push them again. We keep pushing. And just like the young missionary came and saw that the cable was not connected. All of this is purely because we are not connected to the Holy Spirit. When we are not connected to the Holy Spirit, we are constantly being pushed. We have been constantly requiring people to tell us, come on, get up, go, go, and honor God, go, and worship God, go, and serve the Lord, go. That's exactly what happened when we are not connected to the Holy Spirit. And like Herbert Jackson, for 2 years, he has to face numerous trouble. He has been using his own strength to push the car, using the kids to push the car. And just like Herbert Jackson, we have been using our own strength to live for Jesus Christ. Every time you use your strength, you live for Jesus, trouble comes, trouble comes. Problem starts. Isn't it true? Because we use our own strength. We try to get people to push us. We try to move by ourselves. We are not connected to the Holy Spirit. And that is why trouble keep coming. And we always say, as a Christian, my road should be smooth. The glory of God is here. The presence of God is here. Yes, I believe the presence of God is there, but you are not. That's the problem, my friend. So as a church, let us begin, amen? Let us begin by not waiting and say, somebody, please push me. Come on, get connected to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Get connected. Let the power of God work inside us. The supernatural work is right inside you. We just need to say, Lord, do that work. I can't feel it, but now you are able to do it. So don't come around and tell me, Pastor, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not made for you to feel. That is why some marriages got problems. Because I don't feel any more love. Come on. There's no such thing as you don't feel any more love. There was problem there already. No connection, no relationship, no communication. There was nothing there. What love are we talking about? If you have communication, you don't have to feel love. Love is in the air. When I look around, and listen, say, love is in the air, is fading away because we are not connected. I want you to know you can overcome the enemy by allowing the Holy Spirit to do and produce the supernatural work inside you. Are you with me? Are you with me? If somebody agree with me, come on, just give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise in the name of Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432. Or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.